it wasn't either of the people who recorded it, and there was nobody else in that wing of the building. So we don't really know what that was. But yeah, it was this kind of growl.
Welcome to Paranormal Isles. I'm your host, Angus King. Join me as I explore supernatural occurrences in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
To be quite honest, it's got me stumped. I cannot explain it, and both of us saw the same thing.
Oh, I mean, there was a time many years ago that if you asked me, do I believe in ghosts or do ghosts exist? And I would say, well, I really don't know. I don't know. But now I can with confidence say, yeah, they do. They do exist.
This podcast contains paranormal themes and may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised. In this episode, we are joined by paranormal expert James Gilbert from New Zealand Strange Occurrences Society. When one walks into an empty historic theatre, the energy is palpable. Within the unnerving silence, the walls themselves vibrate with the performances of the past. The drama, comedy, and tragedies of life and death being played out evoke the very forces of the creative universe, channeling a higher power. It is no wonder that old theatres house the ghosts of impassioned performers whose stories will never finish being told. Which brings us to New Zealand's most haunted theatre, the St. James. In the heart of Wellington stands the ornate, heritage-listed, Edwardian-style St. James Theatre. The curtain raised here for the first time on Boxing Day 1912, and over the years has hosted productions like The King and I and Hello Dolly. Renowned entertainer John Fuller bought the old United Free Church's volunteer building on Courtney Place in the heart of the city in 1899, with the aim of using it as a theatre. It was given the grand name of His Majesty's Theatre, but was colloquially known as the Fuller. However, the theatre was forced to close its doors after being declared a fire hazard. Undeterred, Fuller rebuilt the structure and reopened, this time christening it the St. James Theatre. The 1,553-seat auditorium had an air of classical grandeur, adorned with marble statues and colourful plaster cherubs on the ceiling. At first it was used to play silent movies, but within a year of opening its doors, it began presenting live performances. After Fuller's death in 1923, the theatre went into rapid decline, from which it never quite recovered. Over the years it changed hands many times, once again serving as a movie theatre for a while in the 30s. After World War II, however, stage performances were back on and continued to entertain the people of Wellington for many years. In the 70s, the theatre closed down, but was put up for sale and finally bought by the Chase Corporation in the 80s. It seemed like the glory days were over for good when the corporation applied for a demolition permit. James Gilbert recalled his first visit there.
The first time that I really spent any time in the St. James Theatre was at an event in 1989 called Jazz at the St. James. And this was a period where the whole theatre was closed and they were going to demolish it. You know, we went in and the whole theatre at that point was quite decrepit. Like, you know, the plaster work was crumbling. It was really not in very good shape and closed up for some time. It got run down. And that had been the first time I'd really, you know, been into the theatre that I can remember, and the state of it being crumbling, disused, kind of semi-derelict, and the idea that the whole place was going to be demolished.
The final show was a film presented on May 7th, 1987. The chosen film to usher out the theatre was Wanted, Dead or Alive, and only a handful of people came to see it that night. Fortunately, a group who opposed the demolition succeeded in saving it, in the nick of time. The St. James Theatre was duly restored and today it is home to the New Zealand Ballet. After another round of construction and earthquake-strengthening renovations, it reopened in June 2022. But old theatres really come without their ghosts. James, a photographer by trade, spent some time at the theatre by himself in 2018.
I didn't see anything, but if I'm going to say what I felt, I'd been up and down and around the theatre quite a bit, and there was only one area that felt unusual to me, and that is if you're looking at the stage, on each side, like with most theatres, you've got box seats, which kind of almost face back towards the audience. And the box seats on the left-hand side, if we're looking at the stage, when I went up and down there, you know, I did get an impression, and I just looked back at the report that I wrote at the time. I made some notes afterwards. I mean, I'm fit and healthy, but I did feel a tightness of the chest and slight difficulty breathing on about level 2 and level 3 of that area. If there was ever any activity, that's where I would expect to find it. The other place would be the top seating of the stalls. But, you know, the vertigo kind of comes in there a bit too. Like, it's like a sports stadium. You're in very steep and raked seats, and there's quite a drop below you. So you're always aware of, like, if you fell over or something. Those two areas, the top of the stalls around the perimeter, exit doors, and the left-hand side box seats.
The resident ghost said to dwell on the St. James is believed to be the spirit of a Russian ballet dancer called Yuri. It is alleged that he plummeted 15 meters to his death from the flies above the stage. To add scandal to the story of Yuri, some believe that he was pushed by a fellow performer, Pasha. Yuri's spirit isn't malevolent, and you will know he is present when something playful happens. Cleaners have reported that when they turn off the lights and leave, it lights up again. Sometimes seats in the main auditorium are slammed up and down. He is even believed to have saved the life of a stage projectionist on more than one occasion.
He was walking rather absent-mindedly around, and he suddenly felt a cold, he said, like a bag of frozen peas pushing against his chest. And he stopped. And when he looked, there was like this huge drop ahead of him that would have, you know, killed or seriously injured him had he kept walking.
Another time, the same man was on the stage, holding his infant son in his arms. He heard the sound of a beam collapsing above him and again experienced the feeling of being pushed out of the way. According to this man, his baby was safely carried through the air and floated safely back into his arms. The man believes it was the ghost of Yuri that saved him both times. But Yuri isn't alone, and witnesses have reported hearing the wails of a female, believed to have been an actress who once performed at the theater. She was a fading starlet who was excited to make a comeback. However, she was booed off the stage. The humiliation was too much to bear, and she ended up taking her own life by slitting her wrists in the dressing room. Contrary to Yuri, this jealous spirit is out to harm female performers who have reported unexplained accidents that cause injuries like ankle sprains or sudden losses of their voices as soon as they have to speak or sing. One actress fell off a ladder, explaining that it felt as if she was pushed off. Director Peter Jackson and his wife, producer and co-writer Fran Walsh, have both purported to have seen her ghost as well. But strangely, not in the theatre, but directly across the road in their apartment they used to own. Jackson stated, "I woke up one morning and there was a figure in my room. She was very scary. She had a screaming face, very accusatory. She was a lady about 50 years old. It was terrifying, actually. A very scary image, and she was at the end of the bed, and she glided across the room and disappeared into the wall. I sat in bed and thought, have I really seen that? Then Fran came in. I told her about it, and the first thing she said was it the woman with the screaming face? Fran had seen the same woman in the same room about 2 years before. The spirit of a third actor, American-born Stan Andrews, is also said to reside within the walls of the St. James Theatre. His apparitions are associated with a wheezing sound backstage. Another tall and slender figure of a man who looks about 30 has appeared on more than one occasion. Arguably, the most chilling haunting at this location is that of an entire boys' choir. Staff have heard the choir singing in the auditorium, But as soon as they enter, the music moves to another location within the theater complex. The tragic story behind the boys' choir is that they performed at the St. James one last time before boarding a ship during World War II. The ship and all of its passengers disappeared, and what happened remains a mystery. A team of paranormal investigators visited the theater with the TV series Ghost Hunt and spent a night there. Michael Hallows took a couple of photos facing the seats from the stage area, and there were some light orbs that showed up. They appeared to be moving, as it was clear in one photo and then gone in the next, but present again in a photo of the next section of seats. Carolyn Taylor took a photograph of the fly rigging system, and at first glance, it looks like there's a spot that had been overexposed to light. But in filtering the image, Brad Hills revealed a ghostly image, looking like a male figure slumped over. This, if you remember, was a spot from where the ballet dancer Yuri is believed to have fallen from.
I found that throughout the series, they did present some very interesting photographs, but most of them were really pretty blurry, and I didn't see anything distinctive in any of the St. James Theatre photos that looked like any kind of apparition or any kind of paranormal activity. What I would be seeing would be photographic anomalies coming from mostly camera movement. It's not easy to take photographs in a dark building without, say, using a tripod. So if you use a handheld camera, you get camera movement, and when you get camera movement, you get blur. Blur is ambiguity, and ambiguous areas allow you to see things in the photograph and interpret them how you want. However, I've not seen the original photographs. I've only seen the TV versions and, you know, the book versions, which are kind of hazy black and white. I can't tell anything very much from those.
Some believe that the St. James Theatre is haunted because it is built on the site of a former graveyard. The location was linked to a church, so it's not entirely impossible. But that being said, there is also no factual proof that there was ever a cemetery at the location. Chris Cooge, project manager in charge of the refurbishment of the St. James, told Radio New Zealand that his crew did not have any supernatural encounters. They did, however, play pranks on each other. He said, "A couple of times we've had a couple of megaphones and some wailing music being playing, and just watching people's reactions. A few lights on and off, just to keep it light-hearted, keep the boys in a positive mood." I asked James about his thoughts about the multitude of ghostly encounters reported at the theatre.
Yeah, there have been a lot, and every theatre, even quite modern ones, have their ghosts, right? And I mean, part of that is down to theatrical people are natural storytellers, right? And also, they're as superstitious as all hell, you know? Break a leg, the Scottish play, which you cannot name. You know, theatre people, like cricketers, I guess, they have their rituals and their superstitions, and all theatre people are storytellers. So once you give a ghost a name, and the St. James Theatre has at least one ghost with a name, Yuri. You have that name, and people attribute that paranormal activity to that character. I have a number of friends who have spent time in that theatre in various roles, and pretty much everyone who's been there late at night or like that says that it is creepy in there, and there's sounds and movements which you cannot really quite pinpoint, and everybody says it's quite scary.
The St. James has a colourful myriad of mysterious occurrences within its grand walls, from the whimsical Yuri to the wailing prima donna and the eternally singing boys' choir. Is it haunted, or are the ghost stories exactly that, stories? Not everyone believes in the lore attracted to the century-old theatre, but, as the saying goes, the show must go on. But would you visit there? Thank you for listening to Paranormal Isles. Myself and co-creator Sonia Lowe look forward to bringing you more episodes.